everyone. Welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are rethinking customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
I'm Ruth Van Biersen.
And we are going to have a great conversation today. So Ruth, let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
My hot take is, as a B2B sales consultant, my hot take is to have your listeners be cautious about how they're using AI in sales and customer service. And AI is absolutely tremendous. It's growing exponentially in terms of its applications and how it can save us time. But the cautionary note is, don't let it become a crutch or have it do all of the work to the point where it's really diluting your message and impacting your brand. Because you still need to be doing the heavy lifting in the sales. You still want to be doing the customization. And that also applies to your customer service experience for sure.
Yeah, I feel like for me, AI is great, but like it doesn't know you and it doesn't know your customers. Not really, right? It's built on every conversation or thought, you know, humanity has had, but that's just taking the average of everything that we've ever built, said, thought, and done. And you and I know, like, people are much more complex than simply saying, well, the average person who lives in Iowa must behave this way, right? And that's not really how people function. I'm very different than my neighbor. You and I are very different. Like, we can't function when our LLMs are just based on averages.
Yes, exactly. And I'm seeing this because, of course, I'm getting emails that I can tell that they're written by AI.
Yeah.
And there isn't enough customization. There isn't, like, I can tell that they're just, you know, sending out thousands of emails, and I'm one of those. Or if they're attempting customization, it's not hitting the mark, to your point. So I'm not saying don't use AI for all of, I mean, everyone's getting, everyone is using AI, and I do believe it does introduce a lot of wonderful efficiencies. But again, use it as a tool, not as a crutch, because you really have to be careful that you're not diluting your, the experience for your prospects and for your customers.
Yeah. And I think it is a risk too, because there's a little bit of maybe a misunderstanding about what AI is actually capable of, right? I talk to people who are just now starting to use AI in their daily work life. And for me, I am a chronic early adopter. So I've been like deep into AI since before ChatGPT was a paid subscription, just because I was really excited and interested in it. And I've tested every limit, and I found the limitations of AI, but I've discovered that people think it's this magical thing that you can just put in the bare minimum of work and it will spit out this magic plan or approach or strategy or do all of the heavy lifting for you. And in reality, to your point, it is a tool, right?
Exactly.
Not just something that we're pushing out there and saying, okay, if I put in a couple of words, it's going to give me the magic bullet to closing this deal. When in reality, it takes a lot of work and personalization, and you have to know how to use the tool to a best effect.
Yes. Yes. And for, as an example around that. So of course you and I, as business owners, we're also both customers, right? Like, well, you know, we have our companies that we rely on, and I'm with a really fantastic web hosting company. I've been with them for years. One of the reasons I stayed with them is because of their customer service. It was very personalized for account holders. They had a really good chat line that was manned by real people. They had a really good ticketing system. So, and I could call in anytime. And then this year they switched over to using an AI-driven chatbot. And I have to say, I was really disappointed when I went into the website to ask a technical question. I was so disappointed to see that they had done that. I understood why companies are going that way, but it was a terrible experience. And what's happened is, because it hasn't yet really populated well enough to have the information, ended up putting in more tickets now. So perhaps it's just early growing pains, but it's something for companies to be aware of, that at some point your customers, first of all, they may be ticked off and annoyed. So you've got to really be engaged with your customers. And even maybe let them know to say, you know, they could have sent out an email saying, we're switching over to AI-driven chatbots now. We're not going to have live chat support. We want to know how it's going. Send us messages. If it's not working, pick up the phone. Here's the number. If that's not working, put in a ticket. But I'm sure they must have been noticing that I wasn't the only one putting in more tickets, right? Because the chat bot couldn't address my. So that's just a perfect example where there's all these growing pains. You've got to make sure you think about your customer and how you can just, you know, keep communicating with them to let them know about the change. Because part of me was like, do I start thinking about switching? You know, I'm not, but then, you know, chances are every other hosting company is going to use AI-driven chatbots as well. So,
but like, what a chance for other hosting companies to say a differentiator like, hey, if you're over here, your website goes down, has a 50 whatever error, and you can't get it back up, you can pick up the phone and you'll talk to a real person who can help you.
Exactly. That's right. You're so right. Like, it's also to say, well, look at what your competitors are doing. Are they getting lazy?
Mm-hmm.
We're cutting costs with AI, right? They can reduce their manpower costs. How can we differentiate ourselves? And ask your customers. Some customer bases may not care. They may be like, yeah, I'll just talk to the chatbot all day. I don't care. But I think companies are overestimating how willing their customers are to do that. And the more we lose that personal touch, then the more we risk losing our customers to our competitors. So it is a really important thing to be thinking through, I think, very carefully in how companies adopt the use of AI.
One of the things that I'm most worried about is the lack of AI literacy and the people who are rolling out these programs. I had someone on the show a couple of weeks ago who said, you need to treat your AI like a brand new, fresh out of college intern.
Oh,
you would never let an intern talk to every customer that came through the door. You would never let an intern handle technical issues without proper training. And you would never let an intern work with customers without oversight. Mm-hmm. So where's the training? Where's the oversight? And why are we treating brand new, fresh AI like a senior level member of the team when in reality, they are no more than just a fresh out of college green intern who has a lot of potential, but has a lot to learn.
That's a really good analogy. It's so important for companies to look at it from that perspective, because if they see AI as a panacea for their business and they see it as, oh, what a great way we can let go of a couple of staffers and we'll let AI do everything. Well, who's, you know, to carry on the analogy, who's supervising that AI intern?
Yeah.
Right. So and I think that's the other question companies need to ask themselves is, are they assigning someone as the in-house AI expert who's going to really be able to understand how does this impact our customer experience? How does it impact sales? Right. It's the adoption of AI too quickly and without really thinking it through strategically can really impact your sales revenue. You know, are you losing customers? You got to find out why.
Well, and AI doesn't, don't get me wrong, like I love AI, but it cannot read nuance and tone, right? Mm-hmm. So like if you and I were having a conversation and I was frustrated, I wouldn't even have to say anything. You could probably see it on my face, right? We're in a Zoom call. You can see my face. We can have this body language. You can see me lean back, throw, you know, fold my arms. You cannot see that, and the AI will not pick up on that, at least not in its current iteration, right? For the foreseeable future, AI is not reading your body language. It's not reading your underlying tone. And at the end of the day, people are still making buying decisions.
Yes.
We are the ones who are deciding and influencing that decision. And how can you expect to drive sales if you are using AI incorrectly and not, as you said in the beginning, as a tool, not the end all be all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so true. It's funny you say that because I was just on a call with a potential vendor, about 2 weeks ago, and we were on a Zoom call. And to your point, so what happened was I had voiced an objection. You know, I had an objection about, it was more just a question, right? But it was definitely objection to what this sales rep was selling in the company and a concern that I had. And what was interesting is you're right about the body language, because we all have tells, right? We all have these little giveaways, right? That in terms of how our facial expressions, our body language, when there's a shift in the conversation. And as a sales rep, it's important to be paying attention to your prospect and your customer in terms of what are those things we can get used to them doing. So when I voiced that objection, which I thought was not, it wasn't overly challenging, but the sales rep literally like went way back in his chair. It was so physically obvious. His facial expression, it completely went very serious, which could just mean that he was just thinking hard about what I was asking him, right? But I was like, wow, he doesn't like this objection. And then I right. became concerned because I'm like, is there a trust issue here, right? So so that's an illustration of this is the importance of sales reps for companies. When they are having, whether it's an in-person meeting or a Zoom call like this, it's to be able to have that intelligence, the emotional intelligence, to be able to look at someone and say, oh, I've just noticed a shift in my prospect. I think there's a trust issue here. I need to re-engage them differently. So all of those nuances. Like AI, it keeps improving. It's getting better. But there's just so much with human-to-human interaction that, and this is where a live salesperson, a sales rep for a company, is so valuable. Because if you have a sales rep with high emotional intelligence, if you have a customer service rep on the phone handling, like at a call center, for example, with that emotional intelligence, that's the difference right there. They're going to be able to pick up on those cues.
I want to go back to something you said about your hosting provider, who you said like the one of the reasons you loved them was because they provide a great service.
Yeah.
In a previous life, before I got into technology, we did a lot of political consulting, and we were working with like alternative polling almost. And we do brand studies of politicians. And one of the questions we would ask is, you know, insert politician name, is true to who they are, true to what they do, true to who they serve. Right. And when we got into tech, we started to ask that same question about brands. And I wonder if the company that you work with, before they decided to add this AI component, did any kind of understanding or analysis of like, is this a deviation from who we are, what we do, and who we serve?
Mm-hmm.
Because if great service was your differentiator, and then you replace that differentiator, whether you realize it or not, you are fundamentally changing who you are, what you do, how you do it, and who you serve
yep.
in a way. And I wonder how many companies are making these snap decisions without realizing that it has larger, not just like support implications, but entire brand identity implications.
Absolutely. I think that like this is such an important conversation around bringing AI into the company, because I do see a shift happening so quickly. Myself as a customer, you know, like with my hosting company, I'm like, oh, now they've gone to AI chatbot. And they may think, oh, this isn't a big deal. Everyone's doing it. I've got, for your listeners, I've got, you know, the quotation mark, everyone's doing it. But it doesn't mean it's what your customers want. And if, you know, I've been with this company now for, I'd say, going on 10 years. That's a long time to be a customer of a hosting company. And I loved that personalized customer service. And, you know, I get it. There are cost factors for companies to consider, but are the savings worth what you're losing in terms of customer attrition? So, yeah. And I'm not sure that companies are actually having this conversation as in whether they're having it at all, or are they having it as in-depth as they need to? And right. Who's the one calling the shots on the decisions to go to AI? If it's the accounting department or the chief financial officer saying, look, we need to find, you know, cost savings, let's switch everything over. Maybe HR is saying we're struggling to keep customer service reps, right? We can't afford them. Right. They're you know, we have a high turnover. Let's just shift everything over to you know, a chatbot. Well, it's that cost, you know, that risk analysis, right? What are the costs and the benefits? And
well, and I wonder too, like to your point, is this conversation even happening? Because if you and I, let's say we owned a business together, if you and I had a brick and mortar location and we decided to move brick and mortar locations, you and I would have a very in-depth, long-term, thoughtful conversation about that decision. We would
right.
weigh the pros and cons. Does this actually help us? Does it change things for us? Is the risk of moving worth the reward of this new location? Right.
Yes.
And I don't know that people are really having that in-depth conversation of, is the risk, because every decision you make as a business is a risk. Is
right.
the risk of implementing AI in this way worth the reward that we may or may not see? And do we right. fully understand the implications of that decision? Because I would bet almost no one is having that specific conversation. They're being told by investors and by the market and by competitors, well, you got to slap some AI on it and just hope for the best, because yeah. this is the way the future works, yeah. without reflecting on the fact that it is a business strategic decision, and it can have serious negative implications on your business. I mean,
yes.
Duolingo is a great example. They announced that they were going to implement AI for one of their services where you could do like conversational partner practicing to learn a language.
Mm-hmm.
They got run off of all of their social media overnight, which was their strength. Their applications dropped way down. People were upset because it was a deviation from what people perceived to mm-hmm. be one of their core values.
Right. Well, this conversation is making me think of the Canva fiasco. Are you a Canva?
I love Canva. I love Canva. So tell me more. I don't know what you're talking about.
So I don't remember the timing. I think it was early this year. I don't remember the timing exactly, but within the last 6 months, Canva did that disastrous rollout of their new pricing platform. And it was so poorly handled. And so the reason I'm bringing this up is because to your point earlier, are companies even like asking these questions? Are they going to their customers to say, look, we are wanting to shift all of our customer service to AI-driven chatbots.
Right.
If we do it right, will you stay on as a customer? You know, will you engage in the AI chatbot knowing it's beta? We're going to improve it over time. And I would have said no. If they had asked me, I would have said no. I'll probably start looking for a new hosting provider, right? So that's just that part B is, are you asking your customers what they would want?
Well, and then they can make the decision that it's okay that you're going to go look somewhere else. But now they've made a decision without knowing whether or not you're going to stay, and they're going to be unpleasantly surprised if people move on.
Exactly. That's right. So the whole thing with Canva was, and I mean, Canva is, it is a
my favorite
global success. It is, you know, I say to my husband that of all the charges that go on my credit card for my business, Canva, I will pay it, happily pay it, right?
Because I think they're charging too much. Charge me more. You're amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And even the free version, I don't know what it's like anymore, but initially it was very robust. So I often recommend Canva, but it is a global success story. I don't remember the exact date, but I think it was earlier this year. They came out with, they did, without letting anyone know, they just suddenly said, okay, we're doing a price increase. We have a new pricing format. And it was significantly higher. I mean, it wasn't too bad, but it was definitely a price jump. The problem is they gave so little time. They communicated so poorly about it that it was actually startling, because I was like, what on earth is this? So it was very confusing in terms of what did this mean for how you handle your teams, where you've invited people to co-design with you. But the messaging was that you've got to go in and download all your designs, because if you don't upgrade by a certain date, you're going to lose all your designs. Well, I had years of design history.
Yeah.
So I said to them, I said, well, how? I said, so it was so confusing the way they communicated it. So I was like on with support, and I'm like, I don't understand. You're telling me I have to now go in and basically download everything? I said, that's like years of design work. And they said, well, if you don't do it, you could lose all of your designs. So long story short, I was sending them emails saying this is being so poorly handled. It's so confusing. I don't even understand really how you guys are doing this or what the implications are. And I'm a solopreneur. Imagine if I was a large company using Canva, right? Long story short, fast forward, within, I think it was about 2 weeks, I don't remember the exact timeline, but they sent out an email saying, we apologize. We're not changing the pricing tiers. Basically, everything was staying the same.
Undid everything that they just spent. And they probably spent quite a bit of time with some expensive consultant deciding these new pricing tiers and no time deciding how they were going to communicate and maintain the brand integrity that they've developed.
It was a disaster. And like, I kept saying to my husband, I was flabbergasted. I was like, I cannot believe that this successful company like Canva has done such a disastrous job of doing this new pricing plan and communicating it in such a way that they put, like, I was like getting, and I'm not an anxious person. I was like, oh my God, what does this mean for all my designs? Like, what?
Everything for me is in Canva. Everything.
Exactly. And I don't remember all the details, but when I was asking support for clarification, they couldn't even truly explain. Like, they couldn't really answer my question. So they said, well, as a safety guard, just download all your designs just in case. I was like, oh my God, what? So I said to my husband, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if someone got fired over this. It was
lots of people probably got fired over that.
It was just so poorly handled. So these are, and that to me is a perfect illustration of where some work was going on behind the scenes and no one thought to really think about it from the perspective of the customer who's keeping the lights on. I don't know if there's articles that have been written about it. It would be an interesting case study in a business school, right? But
yeah.
You know, ultimately, because I focus on sales, but I'm always thinking about customer service. Like right now I'm doing a playbook for a client and customer service is at the forefront of everything I'm creating from the sales perspective, because I'm creating it for the people who are customer facing, right? So we want them to grow sales, but it has to serve the customer and it has to represent the brand. I'm so glad you keep bringing up the brand because I talk about that a lot in sales. The people who are doing the selling are representing your company's brand. So you want to make sure that that's being done in a very intelligent, thoughtful way, and that they're not diluting or misrepresenting your brand or harming your brand.
Well, and that's my whole thing with like these AI implementations is exactly that. How is AI helping or hurting your brand? And if you don't know the answer to that, then you aren't ready to implement AI.
Well, I just engaged a digital marketing company to do, they did a beautiful job of they're handling my social media posting. So there's a whole onboarding process. And I knew they were going to use AI because there's no way they could have done it so quickly. So then I was giving them a bunch of feedback on the social media posts that they had developed. And I could see where the AI wasn't getting it. So, and my main comments were, this is off-brand. This is not my brand. And I was literally in the comment that I was typing, I would never say this as part of my brand. It's not my messaging. So to your point, that is where AI, I know my brand and I need to communicate that to whoever is working within my company. And it's so important for business leaders to be having these conversations with their team. And that ties back into like when I start working with a client, I talk about, what is your customer service mission? What's your messaging to them? What's your value proposition? What is your vision for your company? And if a company can't answer that quickly and easily, then how are they communicating that to their customer-facing team? So it all has to start with leadership to say this and engage the team in that conversation. What is our vision as a company? What is our customer service messaging? Because if you can't communicate that, how can your frontline people communicate that then to prospects and customers? So the whole conversation around branding is, I'm enjoying this conversation because I don't think companies have the conversation enough around branding and messaging. And I always say to companies, your sales reps are the ambassadors for your company. Mm-hmm. Every employee is. So they have to understand what your brand means. And if you're not talking about it, then they won't think you're actually investing a lot of value in your brand. But like, I'm a solopreneur, and I'm like very guarded about my brand. I'm like, this is my brand.
Right. Well,
I'm very protective of it.
and as you should be, because I think people assume that, like, oh, well, our brand will be our product, and once people get in there and use it, they'll form a great opinion of our brand. But the reality is, your brand is every touch point that your client has with you, whether it's marketing or advertising or search or your sales reps or your customer service line or your CEO giving a keynote. They are all parts of that decision-making process. And we've learned in our research that people form parasocial relationships with brands, and they don't view them necessarily as like an organization, but they view them as an organism. And it's like this whole idea of whether you are a solopreneur or a 50,000 person company, people are making decisions and snap judgments based on your brand before you've even really had a chance to say hello. So you have a lot of work to do there, because a lot of times people have made that choice before they've ever spoken to a real human being at your company.
Very, very interesting. You remind me of a book I'm reading. I'm reading a book from John O'Donohue. He's a Catholic Irish scholar, and the whole book is about this notion of belonging. And he talks about this, like how we, he doesn't use the term parasocial, but he talks about this idea of it's so important for humans to belong. But you're absolutely right that when we become loyal to a company, when we are a long-term customer, there's an identity wrapped up in that. That becomes important to us. And it is not to be taken for granted by the company. So, but to me, I'm like, well, that is so important to know and to understand, because now that can drive how we communicate. We're just going to assume that our long-term customers are becoming attached to our brand. So how do we make sure we maintain that and build upon it? And let them feel like they've made the right choice to align themselves with our brand. So yeah, so you call it parasocial. Is that right? Very, very
It's
cool.
a social media phenomenon where people develop what they feel like is a real relationship with like influencers and celebrities, right? Like you talk about Rihanna as if you know her, but she doesn't know that you exist, right? A lot of people have a parasocial relationship with Taylor Swift. Like they love her, fight for her, will go to bat for her. She doesn't know that they exist,
Oh,
right?
very true.
And
Interesting.
so it's interesting to see people start to do that with brands too. I could probably talk to you all day, but we are running out of time. So we're going to ask you our last two questions. Thinking about all the people that you know or that you follow or that you listen to, who else should we be listening to? Who is leading the charge?
I have become a very big fan of Jonah Berger. I absolutely love his books. He may have a podcast. I don't know if he does. But he is a marketing professor at, I believe it's Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. I'm now on his third book. He does in-depth research, and then that drives what he is like. He talks a lot about marketing psychology, customer service, what makes us buy, essentially. He just covers so much, and I strongly recommend for your listeners to pick up his books. So I'm reading right now. I think it's called Magic Word. He's got Contagious. Really very thought-provoking stuff that has actually impacted how I approach sales in my own business and how I'm advising my clients as well.
And if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
LinkedIn is the best place to connect with me. I've got all my information there. And if they do want to check out my website, revsquared.ca, but I'd say go to LinkedIn first. And I love connecting with new people, so that's a great place to start.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating conversation.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.